I believe God wants us to minister today on how to win over worry. Psalms 37, there's several verses, but Psalms 37 said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." There always have been these folks and always will be. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." You know, that is so clearly stated that I don't know how any other translation could do a much better job there, except to amplify, of course, what is already set forth. Because what we're dealing with today and what we're looking at really is a problem in the body of Christ. I said it really is a problem in the body of Christ. Worry. Recent survey said that stress is the cause of 80% of all human illness and disease. 80%. And this is not just adult stuff. This is children stuff. This is boys and girls. This is teenager. Things that we're overly concerned about. Stress is a major problem, especially in the U.S. And corporations spend billions of dollars trying to help people to cope with that. Stress has a wearing effect on our minds and our bodies. Worry about anything or anyone, pressure, fretting about everything or anything, fear, anger, dreading daily or future events to come are all major feeders of stress. What are you uptight about this morning? I'm not. Whoa. I'm okay. Okay. And then I remind you of what we said a while ago that, you know, children, they say, on an average, laugh about 150 times a day, and adults might give a sick chuckle 4 times. See, young people are happy. See how happy they are? You know, travel produces a lot of stress, or it can. Charlie and I were sitting there on the plane. They had the monitor down. Of course, Charlie did his share of clipping the monitor a couple of times there because he's so tall. And then we just started watching people walk by and look at the expression on their face. It was almost like the Gong Show, you know. Charlie and I got to laughing. I thought we would be in trouble on that plane. I guess we just needed a good laugh, needed a good chuckle. Didn't feel good, but it was funny, wasn't it? I don't know what the, because it didn't hurt me, you know, because I wasn't tall enough to. But I mean, just see a perfectly tall person just run into something like that and not have a clue of what happens, you know, at 30 some odd thousand feet. It is a bit distressing, can produce stress. one man was still rubbing his head, looking around for the longest time. I think he thought something fell out of the sky. Well, let's go over to Matthew, the 6th chapter. No, it wasn't funny for those that did it, but it was funny for those that watched it. 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Verse 21 said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, the next few verses, some very powerful life truths here. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Therefore, I say unto you, are you ready for this one? Take no thought. Don't worry. Down in the Caribbean, they say, no worries, mon. No worries. Australia, they say, no worries, mate. But in the Caribbean, it's no worries, mon. Take no thought. Don't be over anxious about your life. What do you mean? Well, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, reading. Nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, how they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these, speaking of the lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Some of you are already worried that someone's going to beat you to the cafeteria. You just know certain churches are going to beat you there. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Most of us could miss a few meals and we would survive. What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows what you have need of. Think about that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow. For tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's not saying don't plan, don't save, don't do what is wisdom, but it said just don't be so worried today about tomorrow that you can't enjoy it today. Now, that is about as down to earth as you can get. But the word of God is very plain in that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Amplified. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. You want to stop and sing Just As I Am right now? But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And James chapter 1, verse 5, the New Living Translation, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, can the translation be any clearer? If you want wisdom, you need wisdom, and you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. God will not resent your asking. I mean, the scriptures are clear If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And it's worth calling upon God and asking God for his help. Now, there's another one over in Hebrews 3:19. This is amplified also. So we see that they were not able to enter in to his rest because of their unwillingness to adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Unbelief had shut them out. Israel did not enter into their rest. Israel did not enter into their promised land. And you know, there's a serious bottom line to what you say, well, bless their heart, they just worried all their life. Yes, and a lot of people do that. But what happened to Israel? One generation missed the promised land. They worried themselves, they fretted themselves out of entering the promised land. That was a shock to me as that thought was prompted to me by the Holy Spirit. We in our generation can miss God's highest, God's best, God's promises, not enter into God's rest and peace for us by just worry. You know, with Israel, I know manna may get old, but it didn't cost them anything. Didn't have to present your Food Mart card or whatever, your credit card. Every morning it was there. Every morning it was there. They got tired of that. No matter what God did, they got tired of it. And you know, the same thing, well, I know what's going to happen here this morning. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I mean, I know all about manna. Well, maybe you do, but it'll keep you alive. God sent them everything they need. And I know that women must really have a problem when it said that even their shoes didn't wear out. Now that must be the ultimate challenge for ladies, that even their shoes did not wear out. But coming back to a serious note, Israel did not enter into what God had for them. Their children entered, but the parents did not. Worry, pressure, yielding to pressure, fretting about everything, fear, anger, dreading daily or future events are all major feeders of stress. What's got you stressed out? I almost let a squirrel ruin my life this week. Now, if you love squirrels, I have one. We'll donate to the cause. It's been taking vacations in our attic for some time, and we couldn't figure out how. When I study upstairs, it's there. When I go down to the living room, seek some solace and quiet, it's there. My son-in-law was so kind to come over and replace the nylon mesh around the ventilation thing on the roof and put some metal up there. Now the only thing is he can't get out. And there's a trap up there that has trapped 24 unsuspecting squirrels and sent them on to their reward at another location. But it's not working at our location. And to my knowledge, it hasn't had water since last Saturday. My son-in-law said, "Why don't you put some water out? That may work better than feed. He may be thirsty." So last night, I got down on my knees, couldn't get my arm in there, and I was trying to get into that trap. And I said, "Joy, what am I going to do?" She said, "Well, is there anything at the fireplace?" And for the first, I said, "Oh, fireplace, Joy? Yeah, go get the shovel. Go get the little fireplace shovel." Well, she ran down and brought the poker back. But anyway, we did get the shovel. And I put the little water cup on the end of the thing and stretched, looking around. A grown man, because we've already had an encounter. We've already seen that squirrel. We've looked eye to eye. God's man of faith and power. God's man anointed mightily to do many things. But even as we preach today, there's a squirrel that is enjoying my attic. Now we had one in the bedroom, and I'll get down to the serious business here in a moment. We had one in the bedroom, came down the chimney into our gas fireplace, had a little glass. And so we were all there, and I think it's Bob Meyer that had the inspiration. Why don't we just close the door and open the back porch door and open these doors? And we didn't know. He walked out, looked around, walked right outside. Now, that worked real good. But that doesn't work upstairs. Phil said, well, you ought to open it to let him find a way out. I said, Phil, you'd have to put exit signs and put an escalator in to get him down the stairs and out the door and nowhere to go. Now, you're laughing, but this has been a major challenge. And I certainly don't want him to go on to his reward up there. And you know, in my own unique way, I was practicing what I'm preaching against this morning. I'm trying to study, and they can make more noise. I mean, it sounds like you got a burglar in the house or something, you know. As they go up and down wall, they're crazy. And I'm trying to study, and how many times I get up and I'd go, and not, the trap's still empty, and, you know. It's been an interesting weekend. It really has been. Finally, I said, you know, there's got to be a strategy to this thing. Just put your brakes on. Just fret not thyself. He can't eat the house. Define your source of worry and stress. And, well, I know what it is. It's a squirrel. One squirrel. I'll get off this in a moment because I know some of you think, no, this is not spiritual at all. Most spiritual thing in my life this morning would be to go home and find him in a trap. That would be the most, that would liberate this pastor in an unmeasurable way. Just thank God you're not up here this morning. How do you win over worry? Well, here's what I'm working on, all right? Number one, define your source of worry. What is it really? What is it? Who is it? What is it? Well, I'm worried about tomorrow. God said, don't do it. I'm concerned about that squirrel that I can't catch. But I can't catch him. So God's going to have to show us what to do with it. Define your source of worry. What is causing you stress and anxiety? We've had a little fun with it, but I think we've gotten the point across this morning. What is just bugging you? What's worrying you about a job or life or today or tomorrow? Number two, just put your faith brakes on. The Bible said in Psalms 37, fret not. I was fretting. Oh. Thought, no, a shotgun won't work in the attic. I'd blow the roof off. 38 wouldn't work. No sense in tearing my house up. Possibility I might miss and have to shoot two or three times. Call the power tower. Okay, Paul himself, spiritual Paul said, bear with me in my folly. So, okay, number one, define your source of worry. Who or what is it? Number two, just put the faith brakes on. Just say, I choose by faith to fret not. Some way, somehow, this thing's going to work out. Number three, pray about it. Talk to God. Have you talked to God about it? Remember, it said, do not fret, have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite request, Philippians 4, 6 I'm reading, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Pray about it. I have prayed about that squirrel. Yeah, I really have. I just went right down the list here. Prayed about it. And number four, apply your faith. God, I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can. Now, I know there's some very serious things that cause stress and worry and pressure. Some things are of a lighter vein, but some things are very deep-seated. And as a pastor, we're always dealing with things in our lives. And I told one of our staff this last week, I said, you know, I'm a pastor and I care. When I see people's lives in disarray, it touches my heart, especially when just a little tweaking would get things back on track. I'm amazed at how dense some people can be spiritually. Folks, the name of the game is we all need to change. There's not a husband in this room that doesn't need to do some changing, not a wife in this room that doesn't need to do some changing, not a youth that doesn't need to do some. We all need to do some changing. And Paul said we're changed as we look into that glory of God and we let God change us. Every one of us need change. If you think you don't need change, you of all people here need change. Change is the only thing that's constant is change, the necessity of change. Apply your faith. God, you can do it, but I can't. I've tried. And isn't that the truth about a lot of things we pray about? We've done everything we know how to do. And finally, it comes down to prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 said, and this is what God's word and promise said in a situation when the man said, Lord, if you can do, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Folks, this is where we all live. I doubt if there's a person in this room today, no matter how good your life is, there's something that could be tweaked. There's something that could be changed. Something that if you could change it right now, you would. So what do we do about it? We define the source of worry, stress and pressure. We put our faith brakes on. We choose, as Psalms 37 said three times, to fret not. We pray about it. We talk to God about it. We apply our faith. Lord, I don't have a clue how this is going to work. Could you have had a clue after the tornado the way God worked things out? I mean, I don't mean to stay there overly so, but you know, all you have to do is just drive around this 17 and a half acres and it just screams miracle, 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 everywhere you look. I mean, the crossing of the Red Sea is no greater miracle to me than what God has worked out since the devastation of that storm. God did it. None of us knew what to do, but God did it. And then here's something that I think is so very important. Number five, keep first things first. Keep first things first. Life verse that my mother taught me as just a little boy, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. If there's any doubt about it, seek first the kingdom of God. If there's any doubt about pecking order, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, seek first the kingdom of God. What pleases God? What God's word says about it? Whether it's logical or illogical, seek God's will. All nature functions because it does what God created it to do, that is, except man. And I just think the Bible, even in Matthew 6, grass grows. God made grass to grow. Just give it a little moisture and grass will grow. It's no big deal. It grows. Lilies in the field grow wild and beautiful, more beautiful than Solomon in all of his glory and his splendor. You couldn't put a wardrobe together in the sight of God that's any more beautiful than the lily of the field. Isn't God unique? This is the God we're talking about trusting. Consider the lilies of the field. Have you taken time to sit down and just look at a lily? God's word calls that illustration to our attention. Birds fly with precision. Watch a bird. Watch a seagull. I remember in Perth, Australia, Joy, you remember we were out on that pier and we had fish and chips and we gave all of our French fries away to the birds. It was so much fun to throw it up and watch about six of them. You'd think they would collide, but one won the prize. And it's interesting. How come a bird can fly with such precision? Think about that. Birds are successful because they do what God created them to do. It's been a long time, but we got through with necessary business and went out and spent an hour in the ocean, there by the shore, just swimming in the ocean. And a whole school of fish just decided to have a convention around me. Beautiful little things, about so long. And I just stood there and marveled. I said, this is God's creation. They not only had a tail, but they had an antenna above and beneath. Unique little fish. Whole school of them. Maybe it's a family reunion. Who knows? On both afternoons after getting through with business, then just getting out, just in the ocean. The fish are successful because they do what God called them to do. And you look at God's creation, the birds, the fish, the lilies of the field, the grass that grows. Everything does what God created it to do, but us. We do our own thing too much of the time. Birds can't swim and fish can't fly, all things being equal. Lilies of the field grow. Grass grows. And let me be utterly simplistic. God created you to praise and to worship His name. That's why you were created. Why did God create a headache? Because the added perk was that He'd have somebody to worship Him that didn't have to, as the angels. God knew that man would fall and fail. But God created man. We were created to praise and to worship God and give God all the glory. That's why we were created. That's why man was created. And even when we messed up, God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So first things first, a couple of more here. By faith, expect God's answer to your situation. Get the how out of the way. Just expect God's solution to your situation. Expect it. Don't know how, don't know when, but He's done it before and He'll do it again. I've lived that way as a pastor for so many years. God's done it before. I believe He'll do it again. Because the record is here. His record is there. Expect God's answer, solution to your situation. Can you just close? If you're following me on this, now I don't know if you've made your commitment yet, but if you're, we're getting close to closing the deal here. Are you tracking with me? We define our source of worry. We put the brakes on. We make the decision, I'm not going to let this thing fret me any longer. We pray about it. We apply our faith. Keep first things first, which is an absolute necessity. We learn by observation. All of creation is successful except doing what God called it to do, except man, and he decides he has a better idea. By faith, we expect God's answer, God's solution to our situation. And then the final thing, and I've already interwoven this in the earlier part of the message, focus on praise and worshiping God. Don't praise the problem. Don't praise the negative isms of life. I mean, if you have a few extra moments, you know, some people don't know what to do with silence. I was in a place the other day, I said, can somebody turn that music off? Excuse me, I don't need music to do everything I do. And it was just goofy, you know. And you know, our society, we got to have music to do everything we do. Got to have music to go to the bathroom almost. Got to have music to buy food in a restaurant, food mart. We just can't be still and enjoy life. There is life after music. I mean, you get in the car, first thing a young bird. See people driving down the freeway. Man, they're getting with it, man. I just back off and say, drive on. Sitting at a traffic light, man, I mean, they're just going after it. I thought, well, what's wrong with calmly anticipating the light to change, you know? Woo. Then you got the other extreme. Oh, God, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a thing can I afford. Thank God those songs of unbelief fell away, but there's a lot of good songs that we need to sing and need to be revived. Focus on praise and worshiping God. And you know, I forgot that squirrel for a while I was ministering here this morning. It's working. I know some people are going to leave and say, our pastor, he just needs to be more spiritual. I'm just being very practical this morning. Folks, there's stuff in all of our life that if you don't cast the care of that on the Lord, the care is just going to weigh you down. I know we did the ACE for the first 3 years of our Christian school back years ago in the beginning when we were so small. They went through a workshop where you took on this monkey and then you took on that monkey, you know. Hey, would you please carry my monkey? Oh, sure, I've got to go to eat lunch or I've got to go make a call. And before long, this poor guy's so overloaded with monkeys he can't even walk. See, that's where a lot of times our lives, we're carrying everybody else's monkey. We're carrying everyone else's stress. And before long, we felt good at the beginning of the day, but I mean, we become a monkey keeper instead of a praiser and a worshiper unto Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And I want to hit it one more time. Israel missed God's best because they refused His rest. Israel missed God's best because they were all absorbed in the cares of this life and forgot His rest. Folks, 90% of what you're worrying about is not going to happen anyway, and the other 10% is not going to be half as bad as you thought it was. So you might as well just smile and enjoy the journey. If you could have seen this choir full of praise singers this morning. You know, animation. I thought some of them were going to have a private rapture before they got through singing. I mean, they were begging you to join them in the joy of the Lord. And they blessed us and blessed me. So what do I say to you this morning? God's answer to your stress is His best. God's answer to your stress is God's best. You were created to praise and to worship God. And you know, I know some people that think, well, I don't think I need that. All of us need it. And if we can just say, I'm going to get a new grip on the promises of God, whether you're a boy or a girl, Samuel, the next time you hear that voice, listen, son, Samuel. David, you're a teenager. Learn to hear the voice of God. We all just need to learn to live by the promises and just stand upon God's word and knowing that God's going some way, somehow. Oh, it's impossible to completely trust in the Lord without seeing victory. It's impossible to completely trust in the Lord to say, that's not going to fret me any longer. I am going to be fret not. I'm going to be fret not. I'm going to cast my cares on the Lord.